Well, my Ganatvinandasya Jaranjana Salakaya Chakshu Samilatan Jainatasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Bhaktamayam Vedati Savanantika Mansukalputubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vedasa Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. Just after Srila Prabhupada departed from this world, myself and Jagatvini Mataji and some Gurukula children came to Vrindavan to participate in to be there as close to the departure time of Srila Prabhupada as we practically could. And it is difficult to describe the mood of ISKCON during that time. It was extremely somber and everyone was in mourning because something that was inconceivable had happened. And something that no one could understand the significance of that heart-shaking event had occurred. But in any case, we arrived, and what I remember distinctly was conversations between His Holiness Tamal Krishnaraj and His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, that two essential events must occur for the pleasure of Prabhupada. That first event, they were so duty-bound and they were completely focused on these two events. The first one was the placing Srila Prabhupada in Pushpa Samadhi, in his Pushpa Samadhi in Sridhar Mayapur. So myself and many other devotees and our little party, we went to Mayapur and then we witnessed that event, the placing of Srila Prabhupada in his Pushpa Samadhi along with Maharaj and His Holiness Tamal Krishnaraj. But the second event that was so important, we could not understand. The devotees who were serving Srila Prabhupada in India, they knew how dear the second event was to Srila Prabhupada, and that second event was the opening of the Radharasa Vihari Mandir, the Juhu ISKCON temple. And Srila Prabhupada knew that if it didn't get opened in his personal presence, who knows what's going to happen? And because this is the very nature of the world. It is tumultuous. It is uncertain. So he wanted the temple to be opened in his presence, practically his parting from this world wish was that. He saw it as so important, so much of his energy, his most valuable asset was his energy, his life. So much of it was dedicated to opening this very temple. He fought for it, he struggled, he collected for it personally. And it wasn't opened. It was not possible to open it during while he was remaining in this world. So these devotees, many devotees, but I'm thinking now how personally His Holiness Tamal Krishnaraj and His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj had taken this as their gift to Prabhupada that was inviolatable. They had to do it. So these two points were fixed. These two events were so strongly fixed in their consciousness. But this temple, this Radharasa Vihari Mandir, this ISKCON Juhu temple, was on an equal level of Prabhupada's own samadhi. And for the devotees who were serving in other parts of the world, we could not fathom exactly why, and nor could we fathom the significance of this temple, how important it was not only to Prabhupada, but with Prabhupada's vision and his potency, how important this temple is for the preaching in Bombay, in India, and for the whole world. And now we are beginning to grasp some of the incredible significance of this special temple. That was one thing I wanted to say, and a second, two other things I would like to say have to do with the struggle. Now, ISKCON in India is very, very opulent. But to establish ISKCON in India, so many devotees, some of those who are sitting right over here, Narottama Prabhu, Vishwadevi, Mataji, and of course Maharaj and Giriraj Maharaj, who is the struggle, the austerities, the disease, the poverty. It is practically speaking inconceivable for us at this point. How they had to live. There was disease. The ISKCON was completely poverty stricken. India was without electricity, and what to speak of the comforts that Westerners were used to. But everything was being sustained by Srila Prabhupada's personal presence. So we really owe everything, the ground that we stand upon today, we owe to the austerities, the devotional austerities that these devotees perform, and we should not forget it. Please remember this. Two examples of the mood of surrender. When this temple was in its shed, and Srila Prabhupada had made a promise to Rasa Vihari that I will build you this temple, he couldn't sleep when he was traveling around the world. Sometimes he could not eat because of his anxieties to get this temple built. And there was such a struggle, and one Mataji and even Gundas came to break the temple that the deities were in. And the devotees, and I'm thinking of one Mataji specifically, Maitihili Mataji, she was protecting the deities, and these rascals were pulling her by the hair for her one Mataji. Protecting the deities. But such, she was infused with such devotion that she was ready to fight them all. That was the mood. So we owe her and so many others so much. And a second very, another story, well, not story, but I will call it a pastime that I was giving class, and one other Mataji, Parvati Mataji, who was here in the very, very early days struggling to help build the temple. I don't know exactly what her service was, but Mataji is very, very strong. And I was giving class, and I was remembering my own austerities in the early days of preaching in Hong Kong. And I was saying in the class that things that we did when we were young, perhaps we were filled with a romantic idea, an adventurous idea, and we didn't know the significance of those things. But I was wondering if I, being much older now and knowing the weight of doing something so difficult, would I actually be able to do it again? Would I actually want to make the sacrifices that myself and countless other devotees made in the early days to establish the movement all over the world? So there in that class I was making this point. Could we do the same things now that we did then? Would we be willing to do it, perform those austerities for the pleasure of Prabhupada? So I asked Parvati Mataji, who underwent tremendous austerities along with the other devotees. There were rats sometimes, and there was nothing. So I asked if you would be, Parvati, would you be willing to perform the same austerities now that you did then? And without a moment's hesitation, she said, in 1 second I would do it for Prabhupada. Without a moment's hesitation. And it is on this type of a devotional platform, again, that now we can sit very comfortably. But we really owe everything to these exalted souls who gave everything for the pleasure of Prabhupada without consideration of their own needs. They were filled with so much devotion. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and I've seen this in my own life, that others may forget us, but Srila Prabhupada and his mercy will never leave these exalted devotees. Thank you.